We had talked Wednesday night about salvation. We're going to look at that again tonight because there were a lot of people weren't here, and there's another verse or two I want to cover. But what's being attacked today is the Word of God, the deity of Christ, and Bible doctrine. And like we talked about before, Bible doctrine is important, and the reason Bible doctrine is so important is when you look at the fullness of Bible doctrine for the church, you see, it gives you a picture of Jesus Christ. It gives you a picture of God. So when people attack doctrine, they're attacking God, because doctrine actually shows the character of God. When you look at the doctrine of sin, it shows us compared to His holiness. When you're looking at the doctrine of the virgin birth, it shows His holiness and His godliness on this earth. When you're looking at the doctrine of the devil, you're seeing the doctrine of opposition. And it's the opposite of Christ. So anytime they attack these, and the doctrine of hell attacks the character of God and the person of God, because it attacks His holiness and His righteousness and His judgment. So Bible doctrine is important. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. The first thing listed is doctrine. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Bible doctrine over the next several weeks. And we're not going to cover everything, of course. We're just going to cover some things that are very, very important, but some things that are very basic. And one of the things that's being attacked today, like we talked about Wednesday, is salvation by grace through faith. And it's the devil's subtle. If you remember, he's more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And his subtlety is not just craftiness and trickiness. He's an expert at what he does. And most of the people sitting here today, the devil couldn't go to you and say, well, you got to work to get your salvation. And we'd know better. We'd know better today. That's not the way it works. But the devil, since he knows you, he's not going to get you that way, he'll get you another way. He'll get you with somebody like John MacArthur. And John MacArthur say, well, lordship salvation, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And if you didn't get rid of all your sins, you're not really saved. And they just mess with you like that. And you know, then we can get into all this, the dispensational salvation teachings and all that. I don't want to go down that road too far today. But I was reading in the Bible this morning in Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 18, and God's talking about the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Then he's talking about the soul that's in sin that turns from its sin and shall live. That's a work. Right? They try to take that and translate that over into the New Testament and say that if you turn from your sin, you get saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you have a repentant heart, and to repent is to not turn from sin. Repent is to have a change of mind and a change of heart about something. Because God repented and he's not a sinner. So what they do unknowingly sometimes is make God look like a sinner. Say repentance means turn from sin. Well, God repented. He repented of the evil that he would do in Nineveh, and he did it not. Why did he do it? Because he's seen their repentance, he's seen their works. He called it what they did a work, because they changed their direction. But God didn't change his direction from sin to holiness. God's always holy. So you got to be careful with that stuff. But I want to look at some things just to ground us more. I don't want to believe things just because the preacher believes it. I don't want to believe things just because the Baptists believe it. I mean, some of the Baptists are hard to believe, amen? Some of the things they believe are hard to believe anymore. I don't want to believe it because any denomination believes it. I want to believe it because the Bible says it. We can look at Scripture on Scripture. And we're going to look at that again today. And for some of you that were here Wednesday, we're going to be retraveling some ground, but it's the Bible. It's worth retraveling, amen? Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9, where we'll start. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, so we look at that verse, and you would think that, you know, that would just cut religion off at the knees. It's not of works. And yet people say, well, yeah, but you got to work to get it, you got to work to keep it. Salvation is not of works. It is a gift. And a gift doesn't cost you anything. It costs the one that gives it. You know, that's the whole idea of gift giving. You give somebody You don't say, hey, Merry Christmas, here's a new salad shooter, from new in the box from 1973, and here it is, and then just give me $17.50 for it. That's, you know, I paid $16, but I had to drive over here. That's not a gift. That's what you call communism, amen. I'm going to give you something, you're going to make you pay more than it's worth, amen. But that's not a gift. A gift is something that's free. And that's why it says right there, it makes it perfectly clear. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not your faith that saves you. It's the grace that saves you by putting your faith in His finished work. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if you really look at that verse, and that not of yourselves means it has nothing to do with you getting to heaven. All you can do is give God your faith. Put the faith in Him, and He gives you the faith to start with. He gives every man a measure of faith. You know where most people put it? They put it in money. They put it in science. They put it in things. They put it in the flesh. They put it in religion, but they don't put it in Jesus Christ. So that's why He gives us that verse. And again, for by grace, undeserved favor. For by grace are you saved through faith. You're not saved by faith, you're saved through faith. You're saved by grace. For by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves, not of us, it's all Him. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know it's not of works. So a lot of folks will tell you, well, you got to work. You got to work. And there's no difference in salvation. You get the hyper grace people, there's no difference in salvation any time. It's always the same. And you get other people, well, there's always an element of works. And then, okay, you get saved by grace, and you got to work to keep it, all that stuff. Well, no, it's a gift. And the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So if God gives you salvation, church age salvation, He's given you a gift. That means He's not going to take it away from you. Amen? Once you accept that gift by calling on Christ and trusting Him and His blood, He's not going to repent of that. He's not going to turn from that. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So when you have the gift of salvation in this church age, you have it. No, it's not a complete gift in the Old. I don't believe it's a complete gift in the Old Testament. There were works involved. Matter of fact, I was just reading that this morning. Brother? That's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, obviously it has to be works related, because there's a man in Abraham's bosom and a man in hell in Luke 16. So, I mean, one of them didn't make it. So, another thing is, like in Ezekiel 18, you're reading that, and it says, if he turns from his wicked ways, and then his life, he shall be saved. He shall have life. He shall live. So, he didn't say that if he trusts Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, he shall live. He says turn from his wicked ways. So there's a difference. And really, the only reason it's important is so people don't get the doctrine all blended together. Because if you say that, you got one guy saying, well, everybody's always saved the exact same way, and it's always by grace through faith, it's always looking forward to Calvary or looking back to Calvary. And then you got other people going, okay, if it's always saved the same way, it says here they got to work. So right here you got to work up the New Testament. It gets messed up. That's really the only reason to even consider debating the idea of how people are saved in different dispensations. Is because if you don't separate it dispensationally and you put it all the same, then you got a mess in the church age. And you better start finding heifers and lambs and stuff like that. You better start, you know, you better pray that God will give you a high priest instead of the bozo pastor, Baptist pastor. Amen. I mean, you got a high priest in Jesus Christ, but if you're going back to the Old Testament, you need a man that's a high priest. A man only that's set in that, that's a Levite, by the way. You better find a Levite, and better look for your Jewish roots, amen? Because it's going to be a mess. We don't do that. For by grace you say through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then you get Romans chapter 10. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That says nothing about works. That's about putting faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord plus keep the Ten Commandments. Now remember, the Bible says, I don't want to misquote this verse. The entrance to thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Now God makes it so simple we can understand it, right? Now if it was works, he would say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, plus keep the Ten Commandments, plus keep the Sabbath, you know, plus all this, plus do all the rituals, plus... He didn't say that. He made it simple. Call on Jesus Christ. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. So all these verses show that it's not works. Let's look at Galatians 5. We're going to deal with it. We never dealt with this verse the other day. We're going to deal with this because it's a little more controversial in the circles of religion here, if you will. So in Galatians chapter 5, the Word of God says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, that's talking about if you're doing it under the covenant of circumcision. Christ is become of none effect, no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, a lot of people say, well, see right there, it shows that you can lose your salvation. Remember, we just said it's a gift, and gift and calling of God are without repentance. What's this talking about? Paul said that there's a liberty where Christ made us free. He's telling them not to be entangled in the yoke of bondage, and then he's telling them that if you're trusting the things of the law, you're under the law. Verse 4, it says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you, or no effect, yeah, unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. So what he's talking about, remember that Paul also introduced the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, it's not a dispensation of grace like a period. It's the grace of God given out in the church age. So he's given his grace, and he's telling them, you can live in God's grace, so that he's preaching grace, and they're not accepting that. They're mixing it with works. So these people are falling from grace. They're going, no, I believe what you're saying, but I'm going to keep the law too. So they're really not trusting Jesus Christ. These are people that are at the precipice of salvation. They're right there at the door, and they're understanding what Jesus Christ did, but they can't let go of the law. That's why people, you know, I'm telling you, and I've heard it a million times, I know they're saved. You don't know. Their church don't even preach salvation. If their church don't preach salvation and they don't have a testimony of believing they were a sinner and trusting in Christ, they're not saved. If they're believing that their water baptism has something, if you anything of you has to do with your salvation, it's not salvation. Anything of your, I got to be baptized, I got to join the Methodist church, I got to join the Lutheran church, and I got to take the sacraments. I got to, all this stuff. I got to partake in this, that, or the other. That's not salvation. Salvation is taking your faith and putting it in Jesus Christ alone. And right there is what he's talking about. He's saying you're falling from grace. If you get to the door and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe he died, was buried, and rose again, well, the devil believes that. But he's sitting, and the devil says, yeah, but you got to, what are you going to do? I mean, you're a sinner. What are you going to do? I mean, you're going to trust Christ, but what are you going to do? How about you? Shouldn't you be baptized? Shouldn't you go to the Church of Christ getting their water? Shouldn't you go to the Catholics and flip their bead? Shouldn't you go to the Baptists and join their church? Because this, all this stuff. And then when the Baptists baptize you after you've been christened and bead flipping and all this other stuff, sooner or later you're going to be saved. That's not the way it works. It works by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. But the devil wants to muddy the water, and that's what he's done with religion, and that's what he was doing with these guys. But you got to realize these guys come out of a system of works. And that's what he's telling them. He said there's a dispensation of grace now. We're not under works. We're under grace through faith. And they can't let go of their works. He said, well, that's the Jews. That's religious people. They can't let go of their works. You know, when a Roman Catholic truly gets saved, he's usually fired up more than a Baptist that started out Baptist ever thought of being. Because they've been all through this junk, and they've been worried their whole life, and they've been living like the devil, and they've been trying to get right, and they've been trusting some man, and they've been confused, and they've been hoping and begging God, and all this stuff that they, you know, Lord, forgive my sins, and I'll pay money here and do this there, and go to the phone booth and tell everybody what I've done wrong, and, you know, the all that stuff. And then finally, they realize there's freedom in trusting Christ. And you're like, whew. And that's what these Jews were doing. A lot of them were letting go of all that, saying, I'm just going to trust Christ. And then you had the battle between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. Paul's saying the circumcision availeth nothing. It's all Jesus Christ. But that verse right there is not talking about losing salvation. That's talking about never getting it to start with. So, and I understand the terminology and all stuff. He's talking about making us free. Well, us free is you're free to get saved. There's a liberty you have in Christ. And these people are going, I want Christ plus the law. Because then I have something to do with it. Well, you know what he says? Then you have something to glory of. Because you can say, I trusted Jesus, and then I did really good. Remember what Jesus Christ said? They come to him and said, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have not healed the sick? And done many wonderful, marvelous works, I think it was. We've done many marvelous works. We have done many marvelous works. And the problem wasn't the name of Jesus. The problem was they were doing it in their name. And they're telling him, they're bragging on their marvelous works. Instead of saying, Lord, praise God for your marvelous work. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Why do you never know him? Because it was all about religion. It wasn't about relationship. And you notice, one second, you notice it was this charismatic mess they're talking about? Amen? Haven't we cast out devils? Haven't we done this? Haven't we done that? It's all over the world. They're doing that. Now they're saying we're closer and closer to the rapture because they've got these charismatic churches and they've got people up there vibrating. They're trying to cast out devils. They've been doing that for years. They're just showing it on YouTube now to convince you that they're of God. That's a mess. You know, a house divided right there. You got a devil trying to cast out a devil. So how could you say that? Well, because I have a Bible. And that's not biblical what they're doing. Now I'm not saying in Jesus' name the devil won't flee. But you don't need no man up there putting his hand on your head going, hey, pass the plate. Oh, go blue, you know, spicking it. You know, maybe put another 10 in there. We'll see if we can get this demon out, you know, all that stuff. That's ridiculous. All that is junk, brother. Yeah. Yeah. And Peter was before Paul, and Paul's the one that got all the revelation, solid church age doctrine, and Peter was the ministry of the circumcision. He's dealing with the Jews in a transition time in Acts where things aren't even the same way they are when Paul finally gets saved. So it does get really confusing, and you're right, he's trying to bring them Jews along to say, let go of that mess, let go of the religion. And not that it wasn't good back then, because God doesn't do anything wrong, but he is pointing you toward Jesus Christ, and that's the answer. Once they got the church age revelation, they could see the Old Testament pointing to the New Testament. But back in the Old Testament, they didn't even see a church age. There were hints about it, but they couldn't see it. The prophets looked, and they saw the first coming and second coming as one thing. They didn't see that dip between the first and second coming with the church there. They seen the first and second coming as one thing. They didn't know there were two. They just thought their Messiah's coming. He's going to take over. And he's going to whoop all their enemies and everything's going to be great physically. But what they didn't realize is they reject their first Messiah. There's a church age and the second coming. You look at the New Testament, you can see all that. You can start to see more of that. It exposes, it shines light on that. And then we have the look of Romans. Romans chapter 3 again. And let's look at uh, 19 through 24. We did cover most of these Wednesday. We'll cover it again, though. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That's talking about justification in his sight, God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely. Now, if you left that word out, you might have an argument. But it says being justified freely by his grace. That means you don't have any input in it. You're justified by Jesus Christ, and by God's grace. So we're not justified by our works. We're not. And if you look at Abraham, Abraham was righteous and justified years apart. Abraham was before the law. Abraham was not in the church age. He was righteous, considered righteous at one point, and he was justified at another point, and they were years apart. One of them was when he left the Ur of Chaldees. One of them was when he took Isaac up the mount to sacrifice. There were justifications years apart and righteousness years apart. When you get saved, you're declared righteous and justified at the minute of salvation because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. You get all that at once. You get all the shuns. Amen? You get shunned out of religion. Amen? You get the justification. Right? You get the righteousness too. You get sanctification when you accept the propitiation. I mean, you can go on down a list. You got imputation. One of the most important Bible words you'll ever hear is imputation, because he imputed your sin to Christ on Calvary and imputed his righteousness to you when you went to Calvary and got saved. So that's imputation, is an important word. And there's just all kinds of different things that happen at the point of salvation. Amen. It's not a process. Process is completed when Jesus Christ come out of the grave. The process is not you. You get instant justification, instant righteousness. Instant. Now, I grant you, we're waiting for the completing of our salvation where you get called out of here today, hopefully. I don't know how many days I can say that. Sooner or later, we're going to be right on that, amen? But look at Romans 3, look at verses 25 through 28. 25 through 28, who God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So, we just said earlier that Abraham had faith and works. His works showed he was justified. And then people go, well, yeah, but that's just in the sight of man. No, it's talking about God here. It says justified in his sight. Talking about God's sight, not just man's sight. And then it mentions Rahab the harlot. She was justified. She was justified in God's sight. She was also justified in man's sight because she had done something and God said, all right, let them live, her household. But they want to say, well, no, justification is different. When they're talking about Abraham's justification, they're talking about man's sight. It's not what God said. He's talking about God's sight. So he was justified and righteous in different places. Let's see. Again, therefore we conclude. That means we've concluded. That means it's over. The argument's finished. That a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now look at, of course, John chapter number 3 says you must be born again. So when you're born again, you are born into the family of God. And that's a second birth. That's a new birth. And that was born of the flesh is flesh. That was born of the spirit is spirit. Flesh birth and the spiritual birth. Talking about the water and the blood. Look at John chapter 1, excuse me. Let's see. Verse 12 and 13, John chapter number 1. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So it's showing here that it's people that received him and believed on his name, not people that done works. They are given a second birth. And it's not according to the will of the flesh. The flesh doesn't want the second birth. But God's conviction and a repentant heart, you can have that second birth. Matter of fact, the flesh didn't even get a second birth. The flesh dies. And at the rapture, this flesh isn't going up. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. I don't want to get into this stuff about, oh, there's going to be blood everywhere. So I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't have enough Bible to get into that. I don't know. You know, it's going to, you know, all that stuff. There's going to be blood everywhere. You know, people are going to leave. But when you start doing that, I'm like, did I cuss or something? I'm please, don't do that. I'm trying to go back through what I said. What did I say? Okay. There might be. I don't know. I can't give you any scripture that says that. I can give you a supposition because, you know, I can deduce maybe somewhat logically that if Christ didn't have any blood, well, our new body's going to have any blood. But I don't know what happens to the old blood. I don't know what happens to it. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say that's a Baptist doctrine. Or this is a gateway doctrine. When you leave, there's going to be a pool of blood everywhere. I don't know if that's going to be the case. All I know is we won't have this type of body anymore, and we won't have this flesh to fight, and we're going to be instantly changed to be like Christ. Now, Christ doesn't have blood now, right? So I believe we won't have it, but I'm not sure where it's going to be. I don't think they're going to be calling in janitors. I don't know. They might not. I could be wrong either way. Big towels and, the ones that are be here, they have towels on their head, so don't worry about it. I don't know exactly how all this stuff works. I'm not going to claim to understand everything in the Bible. What's that? Yeah? Yeah, it may not be the saints' blood, though. I don't know what God does with ours. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just don't necessarily 100% buy into our blood. We're going to leave our blood. Because this flesh isn't going either. So will there just be like a spongy mess of flesh that's been changed? Now, we should be changed. Does that mean that this flesh is actually changed? Or does that mean we get a new body, which is what I believe, we get a new body that doesn't have blood. You can walk through walls and stuff. That'd be cool. Wouldn't it? It'd be neat. And we come back with Jesus Christ later. Amen. But I don't know. I don't know about all that stuff. You can believe it. I don't have a problem with it. If you believe there are going to be pools of blood, believe it. I'm just not going to teach it as a doctrine. There's a possibility there could be blood everywhere. I don't know. But the most important blood to worry about is the blood of Jesus Christ. You better be into that. So John chapter number 3, let's look at verse 16 through 18. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it doesn't say whosoever believeth in him plus. It says believing in him. So our salvation is by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it doesn't say he that believeth on him plus keeps the law is not condemned. It's he that believeth on him that kept the law. Amen. It doesn't say those words, but we know he kept the law. He is our righteousness. He done the work we couldn't do. He done it perfectly. And another thing that's attacked in the new, quote-unquote, perversions, Bible versions or whatever, is the deity of Jesus Christ and his sinlessness. They attack that. And, there's a lot of things they attack it all the time. You know, that's why I say these Hollywood movies, you got to watch them, especially when the folks of Rome are producing them and directing them and starring in them, because they're not biblical. They're not biblical. I mean, they focus a lot on Mary, which is not supposed to be our focus, and they make subtly to the untrained eye, to the untrained spirit, maybe the unread Christian, they're trying to make Jesus look like a sinner. And some of the things they do in some of these movies. And then they come out with all these things. Well, Jesus was married, and there wasn't a problem that he was, and all this stuff. Well, he's promised to the church. If he's promised to the church, what's he doing marrying Mary Magdalene? And where's your Bible proof? Where's your Bible proof? No Bible proof. But they make money off that stuff. In Matthew chapter 7, here's one of the verses where they'll say, well, look here, this is a verse that proves that you got to work. And we'll read this. We just talked about this verse a little bit ago, beginning in 21, Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Oh yeah, getting a feeling for your TV set. Getting that? Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wondrous works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So they say, well, look at verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So the will of your Father, what? They say, well, that's to keep the law. But look at John chapter 6. The Lord's, he's not going to tell you that and not give you a definition for it. John chapter number 6, verse 40 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that's the Father, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. So what's his will? To be able to raise everybody up the last day. But how does he do that? By putting faith in his Son. Amen? Remember, the Bible says they have not all obeyed the gospel. You know what obedience to the gospel is? Trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To this gospel, this church age gospel. So he says, well, just the ones that do the will of the Father are going to get in. Then he says the will of the Father is to trust the Son. Because the ones that aren't trusting the Son aren't doing the Father's will, even if they're trying to keep the law. You know what his will is? His will truly would be that if man's going to keep the law, he keeps the whole law. The Pharisees weren't keeping that. They were messed up. They looked good, but they were whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. They were cleaned up on the outside, they were dead on the inside. Why were they dead on the inside? Because they were glorying in the flesh. And they were talking about their righteousness instead of the righteousness of God. And God gave them a system to get right for a season at a time, to be right with God for a short period of time under the blood of bulls and goats. And see, well, you don't see there, it says blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. Well, that's not what, it can't take away sin forever. But you know what it could do? That's what people say that say you had they were saved looking forward to the cross. Because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin forever, but it could cover them for a season. And they had to keep redoing it and redoing it. It says Christ died once for all. The perfect sacrifice. No matter how perfect they think those red heifers are and those goats are and those lambs are, they are not completely perfect. There's something tainted about them because they come from a sin-cursed earth and a sin-cursed background. Jesus Christ didn't come from that. He didn't come from that. His Father is sinless. And he is sinless. And his blood is sinless blood. Pure blood, unleavened grape juice, unfermented wine. Amen. Look at verse 47 in John chapter 6. Should jump back over there. If I want to read it, I guess I will. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Okay, think about what this says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. First of all he says is believe on me. He doesn't tell them to do anything else. So dispensationally, it's believing on Jesus Christ. Remember what he told the rich ruler? You don't keep the law. He said, I kept the law. He said, that's the only thing you got. Follow me then. Why would he tell you to keep the law? And then he's telling us not to keep the law. He's telling us to believe on him because he kept the law. He nailed the Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 3 talks about that. He nailed the handwriting ordinances to his cross. They're nailed to the cross. Where's the law? It still exists. It's back there before the cross. Amen? And you want to be judged by the law? He'll be glad to judge you by the law. Well, he won't be glad, but he will be obliged to judge you by your works if you think you're going to keep the law. But he wants to judge you by the finished work of Christ and say you're innocent. So there he is again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So not only does he not say to keep the law, but he says you have life everlasting. You have a permanent life. You have everlasting life. He that believeth on me hath life until he sins again. That's not what it says. It says you have everlasting life. If he gives you a gift, remember the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If he gives you everlasting life, it's everlasting. He doesn't change it afterwards. He's not the bait and switch guy. He's not the guy that says, well, you come to the car lot and we'll make sure you get a good deal. And then when you get there, you find out the warranty's $1,000 extra. And it's good for 6 months or something. Right? And it only covers everything but what would go wrong. And it covers the rapture and nothing else. No, it doesn't cover anything. Sister? They believe he rose again. Yeah, but we're talking, but there's a word that we need to get in there. It's called repentance. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So the devil believes. The devil knows Jesus Christ is God. The devil knows he died on Calvary. The devil knows he rose again. And the devil believes that. But he's not putting his trust in that for salvation. See, that's the difference. If you put your trust on Christ, you realize you're a sinner and he died for your sins, buried, and rose again. It was his blood atonement. You put your trust in him saying, you're my Savior. I'm trusting you and you alone. See, most of the Catholics don't do that. The Catholic Church don't teach that. I'm not saying there aren't saved Catholics out there. There are probably saved priests out there somewhere. But what they're teaching is a system of works. So they're damning people to hell through a system of works. Just believing Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again is not salvation. The devils believe and they tremble at that. But it's putting your faith in him. Repentance toward God. And repentance is the heart, change of heart. Say, look, I'm a sinner. I'm not trusting in me or works anymore. I'm going to trust in your finished work. It's not, repentance is not turning from sin. It's turning from what you're trusting in and putting your faith in Christ. And there again, we go back to Galatians chapter 5 where they say, well, yeah, we trust Jesus Christ. But they're not trusting Jesus Christ. They can't even tell you where they're going. 99% of Catholics will tell you we don't know for sure and nobody can know for sure. They say, but we're hoping because they believe their church is the only church. And that is the Council of Trent. The Catholic Church said there's the only church that you go to heaven through. Everybody else is damned to hell according to Catholic doctrine. Not all Catholics know that. Maybe they don't all believe that. But the Catholic Church preaches that. And that's in their doctrinal beliefs that anybody that's not a Catholic is going to hell. And they don't have any way to get saved. But see, the Catholics are trusting in Mary. They're trusting in beads. They're trusting in mass. They're trusting in, when they're trusting in mass, they're trusting in what they call the transubstantiation of that cracker, that Keebler cracker turning into Jesus Christ, and that wine turning into the blood of Christ, which is vile anyway because they're using alcohol. And the blood of Jesus Christ is a type of new wine, unfermented wine is a type of blood of Christ. So that's vile. The whole system's vile. The whole system is anti-Christ. I'm not telling you there aren't saved Catholics because they don't get saved by just believing that Jesus Christ is who he says he was. They get saved by putting their faith in. And most of them don't. They're putting their faith in their works. But going to Mass, flipping the beads, you know, talking to the priest, and going through all that stuff. There are saved Catholics out there. Yeah, they don't believe in the priesthood of the believer. They don't believe you can go straight to Christ. They believe that you go to the priest and you go to Mary. They actually put Mary higher than Christ. I mean, they got to go to Mary to get to Christ. She's the door in their mind. No, that's what the Bible says. Brother? wrong Jesus. Well, to the world system, he's always a baby. Nobody thinks about Jesus unless they're thinking about Christmas, for the most part. And they're thinking about this baby Jesus. Well, the reason the devil wants them to think about the baby Jesus is the baby Jesus didn't come to judge. He came to save. So he's all salvation. Well, he's also all judge. So he's coming back to judge. He's not coming back as a baby. He's not coming back in a manger. He's coming back on a white horse with crowns and a sword and with us if you're saved.